First John. Everybody there? Well, I tell you what I want to do. I'm going to read. This is going to be hard. I could read all my verses while you stood and say, thank you for coming tonight. And we'd leave and you'd be tired. Or I can just pick one out randomly and read it. And I think that's what I'm going to do, okay? So if you want to stand while I read a verse, and then we'll be seated and go from there. All right? This is all basing, this verse is going to be based on everything that we're going to be talking about tonight. So in 1 John chapter number 1 and verse number 4, the Bible says this, and these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. I don't think I said this a while ago, but I don't want you leaving without me saying this. Thank you for being here. Thank you for being here. Well, we're doing what we know we're supposed to. Amen. It's not always easy for folk that, and I try to be conscious of this when you're working out there in that world, and especially when this kind of temperature, if you're working outside, if you had a job like Jeremy, most of his calls, most of his work is going to be an outside environment. And in this kind of a temperature, and maybe others, I don't know, but this kind of a temperature, this 95, 96 degrees, I looked at my phone one time, they said it was 91, felt like 95, they said tomorrow is supposed to be 104 and feel like 108. And I promise you, if you need me tomorrow to help you do something outside, put it off till Friday. And that's the way I know how to say it. I ain't coming. It'll be hot. And watch something break down at my house, and I got to get outside, and I'll call people, and they'll say, no, we ain't coming. They ain't coming. I better hush, Lord. Please forgive me. But I want to look at this. Thank you for being here. That's my point. I want to look at a few things tonight in this book. We're going to look at the whole book of 1 John. 5 chapters, not an overload, so don't panic. But there's some stuff in this chapter, this book, that is so valuable to the child of God. I mean, it is rich. It's probably not something. It could, and if it does, I don't care. It might make you want to stand up and hoot and holler and shout. And if you feel like hooting, hollering, and shouting, just go ahead and hit yourself. Any of you young men, do it. Amen. I'll say thank you, Lord. And I'll tell Jesus, you know, I thought they was dead, but you proved me wrong. Amen. And but seriously, there's some things in these 5 chapters right here that'll be such an asset to us as Christians. And I want to start out by giving you this thought right now before we start even looking at any verses. I want you to know this. There's a reason for John's writings, the things that he is. He's written in this book. We know that he wrote the book of John, the epistle, John, St. John. We know that he wrote the book of Revelation. He wrote 5 books in the Bible. In the middle, from the first one to the last one, in the middle, there's 3 small books. 1 John, 5 chapters. 2 John, just 1 chapter. 3 John, just a few, even shorter than 2 John. But there's some reasons that he wrote what he wrote, and there's a reason that he has said what he said. John's writings have a focus. The Apostle Paul's writings had a focus. Paul's writings was on faith, hope, and love. If you'll look at the writings of the Apostle Paul, you'll see that. Come on in, Brother Jeff, and get out of that heat. Amen. The Apostle Paul's writings, there was a focus. If you look at it, you see it. It was just such a strong focus on faith, hope, and love. And now John's writings are a little different. John's has a focus on light, life, and love. And so with these kind of a contrast, if you will, John's trying to point at someone. All right? John reminds us in the book of John, St. John, he said, I'm not that light, but I came to bear witness of that light. And he said the reason I came is that men would have life. All right? Remember, one of the most popular verses in the Bible, everybody quotes John 3:16. He said, for God so loved. And so I looked this up and I've done some research and studied, and I want to just try to do something to be a help to you. Why did John write what he wrote? Let's just read some of the things that he put down. The Holy Ghost let him write it down so that we would know why he wrote what he wrote. In chapter 1, we just read verse 4. He starts it up and says, these things write we unto you. This is reason number one, that your joy might be full. I want you to know that the reason I'm writing, the reason I'm telling you this, is because it's a good thing for us to have the joy of the Lord. And then if you look in chapter number 2, First John, he said, my little children, these things write unto you that ye sin not. So we know that there's some things that he's written that'll help us to have be full of joy. And then there's some more things that he's written that'll keep us from wanting to sin. Doesn't that make good sense? You might not have a problem with sin, but everybody that I know this, in the human side of life, they all confess the same thing from once in a while. I slipped up. Or whatever, you know. He said, my little children, these things write I unto you that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. So we see that he's written this for that. Look in verse number 7. He said, brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. And a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. Remember those three words I said? Light, life, and love. And he said this in verse number 7, brethren, I write no new. The reason he's writing that is because let you know that you know what? We got something now that is, we were able to see the true light that now shines, okay? Look in verse number 12, same chapter. Verse number 12, the Bible says this, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for your name's sake. He said, I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. Verse 14, he said, I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. Thank God. That's what you and I did whenever we got saved. We passed from death unto life. Our overseer, our God was no longer the devil. Amen. Amen. John chapter 11, Jesus told those Pharisees, he said, ye are of your father the devil. And I'll tell you this, before you got saved, your father was the devil. Amen. You served him and done what he, and I'll be honest with you, even now, he can paint a picture so pretty that it's very tempting, it's very enticing to us to want to say, wow, is that nice over there or what? You know, but on the inside, when something ain't right, the Holy Spirit of God tells us, that ain't right. That ain't right. That ain't right. You better leave it alone. So we see that. Look at verse number 21. The Bible said, I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Verse 26, he said, these things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. So if we'll keep our eyes on Jesus Christ, one thing we'll do, we'll listen to the Holy Spirit of God. We will not be led astray. That's why we're warned to try the spirits and see whether they be of God. See whether it's of the Lord or not, because that's a seducing spirit, verse 26 says right there. And what it'll do, I don't understand how you can take that word and mix it with Christianity. The same way that in the Old Testament, the Lord told those people, told the children of Israel, the nation of Israel, he said, you go a whoring after other gods. They were seduced to go that way. And I'm telling you, friend, it worked way back then. Let me tell you something. It'll still work today. It'll still work today. So we look at this text. I want you to look at one more, chapter 5, and we look at why he is writing what he has written. First John chapter 5, verse 13, the Bible said, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Aren't you glad that I can know? Aren't you glad you can know? Thank God. Thank God. Hey, some of you haven't been saved very, very long, but I want to tell you something tonight. You can know according to this scripture. I would mark that scripture in my Bible. I'd underline it. I'd put sparklers going off beside it, whatever I had to do so that I could, I'd write it. I literally, let me tell you something. When I first got saved, here's what I'd do a lot of times. I would write in the back of my Bible on verses, if I needed a verse on eternal security. Anybody else ever done this? A verse on eternal security. I'd write down the day I got saved. I'd make a note. A verse on eternal security. I'd write down a verse on salvation, on the plan of salvation. I'd write down a verse because people want to argue about everything. We're living in the most argumentative age. Some people, you could tell them that the middle of the highway road is the line is yellow or white. They say, no, not the way I'm seeing it. You know, who cares? You know, there's a line there. Thank God for that. Amen. I mean, I'm just saying that we know now the reason why John is writing and has written what he has. These first two chapters right here, they open up to us the light of God. The light of God. The Bible said the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. You know what the Lord will do to me and you? Whenever we get saved, whenever we start living for the Lord, the Spirit of God will speak to us about something, about you shouldn't do this or shouldn't do that. And that what that is the light shining into darkness, to a place that is void of understanding just yet. And we don't always understand it. We got, Lord, hey, you know what? Hey, let me tell you something I don't do. I made the point. My pastor helped me with this a long, long time ago. When I come up to a text in the Bible that I didn't understand, I didn't change my beliefs. I just kept on believing what I believed, and I pray. I say, Lord, I don't understand it. Tell him. It's easy to tell him. I bet you this here, Brother Tracy, I bet if you was to give one of your two boys or both of them a job to do outside, and if either one of the two or both of them at the same time come to you and said, Dad, I don't understand what you want me to do. I doubt seriously that you jump up and down like a shortstop and go to hollering and screaming and grab the two ball bats. Uh-oh. No, why not? But I believe it all my heart. You'd explain exactly what you wanted, as if Brother John would, for John Owen, and anybody else would. That's what a supervisor on the job explains to someone. This is what I want. That's what the Holy Ghost does to us. We may not understand what it is God wants us to do or how He wants us to do it, but if we'll just tell Him, Father, I don't understand. I know I sound like a dummy. I sound like anybody else that you thought was a dummy. But if you'll explain it to me, I want to do, Lord, what you want me to do, however you want me to do it. But I'm just telling you, Lord, you're going to have to show me how to do it. You're going to have to explain it to us. That's all it'll take, ain't it? And I don't think God will get mad at us about that. This first two chapters right here, we've looked at, it's literally, it opens up to us the light of God. Here's what it's given. It's given a contrast, between the purity of His nature and the pollution of our nature. Bible said all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Let's look right here in chapter number one and verse number seven. The Bible says this, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. You say, what's that got to do with any contrast? Well, let's keep reading. He's making a statement right here. He said, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. There's a stipulation right there, Brother Jeff. He said, if. Now, if you don't, then you ain't. If you don't, then you can't. He said, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. He says, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, wait a minute now. I thought we was all right for a second there, but that's what He said in verse 8. He said, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Have you ever, anybody besides me ever deceived yourself about that? I have. I wouldn't have never stood up in church and say, just want to let y'all know this past week this thing's going on, found out the truth wasn't in me and deceived my own self. But that's what He said right there, ain't it? Huh? He said, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And what? Cleanse us from all. Wait a minute. You mean all? He didn't say that. He said all. That means they must be a bunch. I thank Him inserting that word all right there. It almost sounds kind of plural to me. There's more than... Wow. He said, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Are you kidding me? I want to say thank the Lord. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a what? Are you kidding me? Now, you won't stand before God with that on your plate. Lord, I know. I'm going to bog down right here, Brother John. You better, if do this once in a while, let me know. Get back where I was, okay? If we say that we have no sin, we made Him a... Well, let me say it in South Georgia, St. Mary's terminology, so that we'd all understand. What I did wasn't a sin. Oh, it ain't a sin to think about them like that now, because I'm going to tell you something right in the beginning. They said something to me first. Well, let me just go ahead and say this here. If you already got that kind of thought in your mind, they ain't no fellowship. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship. I don't know about you, but this is something that I deal with. We might just have to have confession time here tonight. Anybody else wants to confess something after a while? Well, I'll look on your face and see if you look like you need to. Amen. Won't that be a blessing? I know, and you know, if there's ever a time, if there's ever somebody, that y'all ain't having good fellowship. And you're supposed to be a Christian. He's supposed to be a Christian. And if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. Why did He throw sin in there while we're supposed to be fellowshipping? I'll tell you why. Because they really ain't no fellowshipping. I mean, this book on John, light, life, and love. That's the three extremities, if you will, that it's really trying to focus. If these guys right here are going to fellowship one another, they're going to have to be followers of Jesus Christ. One can be a Christian. And the other three not. That one going to have a real hard time fellowshipping with them. Three of them can be a Christian. And one not. That one's going to have a real... Well, y'all work regular jobs. Y'all know you around people that ain't saved. You know what I'm talking about. It's real hard. It's real hard. But let's look and see what it says right here. So we see right here that here's this great contrast. He said, verse 2, chapter 2, verse 1, my little children, these things write I unto you that ye sin not. And if any man sin, it's not the end of the world. Well, that ain't exactly what it says, is it? But that's the truth. Let me read it like the Holy Ghost said to read it. He said, my little children, these things write unto you that if any man these things write unto you that ye sin not, and if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Now I know, please understand me. I've seen situations. We was talking about back in the back, in the office back there a while ago. Brother Lee was talking about watching them kids play ball. Me and Brother Larry was talking about it. There's some places it's hard to be a Christian. It is. When you know, if you go some places, you're going to end up in a fist fight. It'll be hard to brag on Jesus right there. I mean, unless you win and you're standing there with your foot on somebody's throat and say, now that I got you where I can talk to you, you better be listening. I'm going to stand up on this foot. Are you saved? I doubt seriously that they'd take you for what you meant and all that, you know. But you know what I'm saying? It's just, I've seen mom and daddy get so mad. Brother Leroy said if they take their mom and daddy, put them way out there past right field and the other one out past left field where the kids could play ball, the kids would have a good time. Well, I always thought that's what it was supposed to be for anyway. I guess I was wrong about that but anyway, where's Cannon at? They talking about Christmas, talking about buying him some of them baseball bats and ball bags and everything. I said, what? I told my daddy when I was in the 11th or 12th grade, I forget now. I told him I wanted to go out for basketball. 12th grade, I went out for basketball. And shortly, I mean, we lived so far out. They wasn't under this stuff. Oh, you just walked to the house. No. I wouldn't have got home till next morning. Then I had to turn around and come back. Okay? My dad says, I said, now, Dad, I'm telling you, I'm going to make the team. I know I will. I can play good as any of them can. And so he says, well, good, son. He says, and the grades better be this. I said, he says, you can make one B. I said, no, they said you can make one C. He said, no. They didn't say right. And then I told him I had to have a pair of Converse. He said, you're good enough, they'll buy you some. I said, yeah. I don't think I've made the team, be honest with you. I was over with. It was over with. We see that the nature, the Christ had, the purity of it, and then the pollution that we had. You know what I found out? This is a test.
God gives us a test whether we really dwell in the light or not. It's a test. It's a test whether we are dwelling in the light or whether or not we love the brethren. Look in chapter 3. Look in chapter 3. There's some thin lines you have to walk on when you walk the Christian life. Now first off, let me just throw you some lines out there that ain't thin. Okay? You can't go down here to JP's Liquor and buy you a quart of Mad Dog 2020 and say, I'm just taking it because I got a cough. Ain't nobody gonna believe that. Ain't nobody gonna believe that. I don't even know if they got Mad Dog 2020 or whatever. Or by the, if they got a quart of it, I don't know. Ain't nobody gonna believe it. But they will believe this if they see your car in that parking lot. They gonna believe you a customer. Huh? They'll believe that for sure. They're not gonna believe you if you tell them, say, hey, I'm not living in sin. We're just sharing an apartment. I'm just saying, some of these lines, they ain't all that thin. But there's some real thin lines. When I was talking about, I don't think he was in there, one of the things that we found in the sewer drain was the mouthpiece. I don't know. I've never seen one of these things except I've seen people get out of the car and stick that thing in the mouth and drag off of it and stick it back in their pocket. I'm thinking, when I smoke, the last thing you want to do is put a cigarette back in your pocket. You hear me? You look like you've been like you. Well, never mind. But there was a piece of one of these vape things for vaping that was in the sewer line. Now, we push something through it. That's the reason I'm saying, any toy small enough that will go down that throat right there, trash. Take it home. Go by and get it. Take it to your house. Let them play with it at your house. If you bring it here, you think I'm kidding you. You think I'm kidding you. I'm going through that toy box. $200+ later, and two old men like to have heat stroke. There's a big bear out there. I thought Brother Lee was going to prop me up. Mama stopped by, and I literally, it was hot on her out there. She just sat there with us. Yes. I said, please just hang around. I said, I'll take you. I said, I'll buy you dinner. So just hang around with us for 30 more minutes. And it got so hot, I had to crank my truck up where she could sit down in the truck. She says, I don't got to go home, son. And I noticed her kind of shaking, Sister Lori, just a little bit, you know. I said, let me crank my truck up. You just sit down and cool off. And boy, she was glad she did after that, wasn't she? She had a good time. But I'm just saying, there's some thin lines. Now, this is something that Brother Edwards tried to use. The Bible said to be kind one to another. Tenderhearted. Be kind one to another. Tenderhearted. Forgiving one another. I need an example, okay? Even as God has forgiven you for Christ's sake. All right, now, be kind one to another. If you're going to shout, it'll probably be right here. Anybody ever met a Christian that you had a real hard time just being real kind to them? I have. So I didn't call them every day. And I didn't go to their house. Matter of fact, if I passed them in Walmart, I just, maybe something like this. Hey, good to see you, bro. Was that kind? I obeyed. Now, if I'd have stopped and spent time right there, sure as the world, I'd have got myself in trouble. With the Lord, with the Lord. Because, you know, I'm probably instead of just saying, how you doing, bro? How's that old hateful wife you got to? I mean, it would have been ugly, you know it would have. Or I might have said that old grassy husband you got. I'd have ripped the blanket right there, wouldn't I? When all I had to do was just be kind. Just be kind. I found out this. The less you say, probably the kinder you'll be. Isn't that right? This is for me. For me. This is for me. But don't say amen if you don't do. It's a test. Do we know, verse 14, we know that we pass from death unto life because we love the brethren. And he that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Wow. I'm going to read it again. You might want to mark it. Ain't that powerful? Brother Darnell. Wow. Ain't that powerful? 1 John chapter 3, verse 14. Let's read it together again. And we know we pass from death unto life. Did I not say that this is a test whether we dwell in the light? This is a test. This is a test on whether I'm saved or not. Okay? Now, I ain't trying to point nobody out, but I'm going to point somebody out. I just love to see people smile. I do. Every time Sister Sarah walks in that back door, she just got this big old smile on her face. I don't know. I wonder, did she just whip both them boys? And she's happy. She's got both him at work. She's happy. You know what? I don't even care. I know this. I know right here, for every one of us, are you listening? Right here, for every one of us, it says something. What's this? And we know that we've passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. That's another good verse to mark down right there in your Bible, ain't it? Huh? He said, he that loveth not his brother abideth in death. What do you reckon that means about it? Do you think we could go as far as this right here, Brother Darnell, and say, that person, the second part of that verse right there, that person needs to get saved? But he abides in death. Maybe he's never asked God to give him that light. That life. And definitely not that love. Well, this don't make sense. It don't make sense to say that the love of God dwells in our heart. Then we should refuse to help somebody that's going through some kind of a storm. You know what? Let me say this about this church. I don't know if I know of a church anywhere that has done so much and tried to help so many people as this church has. I'm thankful. When I say this church, I'm talking about y'all. I'm talking about everybody that goes to church here. The church is not the building. The church is this body of believers. And I know some churches, they help. I know they do. They help folks. But I also know that extra help. I'm not talking about the monthly support of missionaries. I'm talking about extra above the monthly support of missionaries. I'm talking about above what y'all do to take care of y'all's preacher. It boggles my mind. I'll tell you what it is. It's one of them deals that if you was to grab you a good piece of notebook paper that'd be about this wide, standard size, we say, but get one that's about this long, that's from here down to there, you could figure all day long and you cannot make it make sense on paper. You can't. You can't. can't. I read them missionary letters, and they tell me about what God's doing for them. Joe Davis, every time I talk to him, he's bragging on the Lord about how God's taking care of him. He called me Sunday morning. He said, I know you're getting ready. He said, I'm getting ready. I'm fixing to leave myself. He said, but I just want you to know, he said, that I've already been in prayer for you this morning. Just me. He didn't say I prayed for Joe Chancey. He said, I'm praying for you, brother. Man, you know what they've done to my heart? I said, Lord, I mean, this might not be the right way to pray, but I said, Lord, thank you that he was praying for me and not Mother Joe. Thank you. I mean, he had me at the top of the list. That helps me. Because I don't know what I'm going to hear when I walk in here. I don't know what I'm going to see that may not be true. You ever heard this here? Don't believe. How's that thing go? Don't believe half of what you, don't believe what you, yeah, don't believe what you hear and only half of what you see. You sure enough, you can't always believe what you see. Because I've had people give me some of the ugliest looks in the world. I thought they was wanting to shoot at me. In church. And you know what come to find out? After I'd eat my lunch so long, I had to go to them, Brother Leo, and say, look, is everything okay? Is everything okay? If it ain't, let's get it okay. I can't handle this. I can't handle this. God ain't blessing you, and God ain't blessing me because he ain't blessing you, and he ain't blessing me because I'm worried about what you're thinking. And come to find out, it'd be some other problem, maybe job-related, maybe family-related, that I didn't know nothing about, Brother Sherman. You know what I'm talking about. See how the devil jumps in here? Ain't he wicked? Don't you hate him? Does anybody besides me, I hate him. You say, I wouldn't say that about the devil. He hates me. He hates you. All he wants you to do is if you hadn't been sinning, he wants to introduce you to a sin that you can't say no to. And I promise you, he'll pull you out of church. Why do you think? And I know we got a lot of people out of town. A lot of people traveling, I understand that. They're gone. I understand that. They might have worked out. Hey, Brother Jeff, they might have just worked outside all day, and they're so hot, they are zapped. And they had to stay. Brother Ron got home. Sister Carol texted me. They couldn't come tonight. They got home. The house they rent out, I think it is. They got home. The people got there and was flooded, and they've been gone for night. And it's a mess. Could you imagine that? Could you imagine that? You know what I said? I said, bless his heart. Have mercy, Lord. Have mercy. I'm just talking about, you know, just trying to make sure that I pass the test. I want to pass the test. It don't make sense that God would let us live as a child of God, as a Christian, and not do the things that we think that possibly should be able to do. It's not even something you got to be concerned about. If you just do what the Lord says for you to do in the Bible, man, come on now. There's a perfection in this love that John's talking about. There's a perfection in it. Look in chapter number 4. This love, the perfection of this love, is revealed. And there are two things that we find in it. In John chapter number 4, in this love that we're talking about, start reading verse number 1. You can read with me. He said, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Now, if I was to stop right there for just a moment, I'd want to ask myself this question here. Where did they come from? You know, I believe I got the answer to that. Let's read it again, and we'll read it real slow. He said, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they're of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. You know where they were? They was in church. You know, the people The people that get twisted more on Bible doctrine than any other people in the world is going to be somebody in church. I remember there was a singing group. There was a singing group one time up in Michigan. They were from Michigan, Brother John. You probably heard of them. They were called Sound Doctrine. Sound Doctrine. You remember them? And, man, you're talking about some men that could sing. Oh, my goodness. Faith sang that song about the little boy asking his dad about the blood and everything. But Gary Duty wrote that. And I mean, one after another. At one time in this country, Brother Tracy, they wasn't nobody writing gospel music like they were. It was there. It was his day. And I'm talking about the blood. I'm talking about church. I mean Bible doctrine based songs, not something just, you know, little foot stomping music. And you think, wow, what in the world? What would make somebody like that drift away? It got him. It got him. Got him out of church. And then his goal, this is always what happens. When the devil can get you, whoever, me, you, when he gets us out of church, he always has a requirement. And that is you take people with you. You take people with you. I've seen it. I've been here too long to not see it, Brother Tracy. I've seen it. I've seen people leave so mad, they wanted to shoot me. They wanted to whip me. They didn't cuss because they thought I might have had a tape recorder running. But I mean, just that mad. Do you think by any means that the Spirit of God would say you've got the liberty to be that angry with a brother? According to the Scripture, I'll say no. According to the Scripture. Let's look and see what it says right here. We're just about done. I know you're excited about it. He said in verse number 1, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they're of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye that the Spirit of God... Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God." That summed that up real quick, didn't it? He says, "And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God." You know, you got to break this verse down if you want to know whether you're saying Jesus Christ is not of God. You'll have to break this verse down. And you'll have to analyze your life as a professing Christian. Is my life lining up with all the things that John said that I should be doing if I'm walking in the light? If the life of Christ is in me, is my life like... I'm just saying, we'll go back to JP's if you want to. You can't pull in there. You can't stand up in church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and testify about the goodness of God, and then go by and get you one of them mad dogs or whatever. Wine coolers, whatever. I don't know. Hey, when I found out how much alcohol was NyQuil, I quit drinking that. I mean, I figured I probably, you know, enough already, 2 or 3 bottles of that a day. Make anybody happy in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm just saying, we know. We know, don't we? We know. "And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God, and this is the spirit of Antichrist. Whereof you heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God." Hear me. Year of God. Listen. Can I pause right here for a second and just say something? We're living in an hour when it is literally a battle to have everybody faithful to church. I'm talking about just local church. Just members now. And when you do get people that can come, for some reason the man or he'll start acting as crazy as a run over dog, and you can't find him. Then the wife, she's got to come by herself. I got one thing to say about that. Thank God for a wife that won't quit. And it might be opposite. It might be a husband. I've seen churches where the husband come all the time and you couldn't get the wife to go. I say, thank God for that husband. It'll keep coming. There's children. There's children in here. You've got somebody that's watching. Hey, you know what made me go to work sick? I watched my daddy go to work sick. You know what made me be hard on my boy and tell him that you are going to work? I heard my daddy say, you are going to work. I mean, there was somebody, there was an example that let me know, hey, I wasn't worth all that I thought I was. I could work for $2 an hour. I didn't want to, but during the time that was happening, just to get a job, period. But nowadays, not today. Not today. I could have seen my dad if he'd come home with me not working and me playing a video game. Could you have seen? I tell you what I could have seen him do. I could have seen him stomped it all in the floor. Then made me clean it up. I mean, I just have a horror of stuff like that. I know how that's how you operate it. We wouldn't have put up with it. But we're living in a different hour when the parents are scared of the children. And daddy wasn't scared of me. Mama wasn't scared of me. I wasn't scared of none of mine. Things didn't always go well between all of us. But when it was all said and done, I was still daddy. And when things don't go well right now, they still come to me and ask me. See, you always going to need them. Always. You'll always need them. Whenever you get to be 50, you'll still want to go to them for advice. Telling you, don't hesitate to do it. Don't hesitate to do it. You'll wish you had them back one day. Chapter 5 deals with a life that's on God, that's in God. I skipped. Tonight, sometime, please, I looked at chapter 4 and we see this, verse 1 through 6. We see that there's falsehoods are exposed. Verse 1 through 6. Verse 7 through 21, we'll see examples of faithfulness. That's why I thank God. That's why I say thank God for the people that are faithful. Married, unmarried, doing it by yourself. Sister Samantha, I commend you. Thank you. Please don't stop. I know they've been some hard times. Sister Anita, thank you. Don't stop. Look at the fruit tonight. Look at the fruit tonight of you not stopping. And I know if you're like anybody else, there was times the devil got in your mind and said, what, you don't even go back to that church no more. And had you done that, that one sitting beside you, probably before she ever got here, she wouldn't say. She gets saved, and now because you kept on, now she's bringing somebody else, and she gets saved. Yeah, yeah. I didn't want to say, thank you! Yeah. Thank you! Thank the Lord! Thank the Lord! Aren't you glad she didn't quit? I'm not saying she thought about it, but in case she did, look right here in chapter number 5, I want you to see this. Verse 1 through 5, the Bible says this. Whosoever believes that Jesus is the Son Jesus is the Christ, is born of God, and everyone that loveth him begat him, loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? I'll tell you something. The Holy Spirit bears witness. Look in verse 6 right here. The Holy Spirit lets us know who this is. This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ. Not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. The Spirit of God lets us know, it witnesses the truth of this life. And then the Son of God, verse number 9, the Bible says this: if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, that he hath testified of his Son. And he that believeth on the Son of God hath witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believes not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. That's a witness. The Holy Spirit witnesses. The Son of God witnesses. This book right here, John chapter 1 John, focuses so heavily and so thoroughly on knowing and assuring me and you that we must have the light of God in our life, or we will not have the love of God. We will not. I see it. I hear it all the time. Preachers, Brother Wheeler, you know what I'm talking about. Unfortunately, Brother Jeff, you know what I'm talking about. Preachers bitter at one another, talking about one another, despising one, jealous of one another, because they. Listen, I got a friend up there in Augusta, and let me tell you something. This boy, I knew when he went to that church, it was going to be hard on him. Every preacher that had a church smaller than him was going to talk bad about him. But we went to the meetings where he held a meeting, and we seen the move of God, didn't we do it? We seen God move in that place. We seen souls get saved. I'm telling you, he'll call me. He's called me. He's offered me stuff he ain't offered another person, not even offered his church goes to. He loves me. My boy is his best friend. I don't love him just because my boy is his best friend, but that does help a little bit, Mother Tracy. I told him, I said, when my wife gets well, I said, I'm gonna take her, and we're just gonna go on a trip. We're just gonna go wherever we want to go. Just get away for however long we want to get away. He said, amen, Doc. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. He said, do it. He said, you ever drove a motor home? I said, I have. He said, well, I just want you to know. He said, when you get ready to go, he said, I got one here, you can come get it. It's a nice one, ain't it? I said, what's the catch? You know me. He said, there ain't no catch. I said, let me ask you something. I said, you ever offered anybody else that? He said, nobody. He knows I ain't never said one bad word about him. He's pastoring the church. They're running probably a couple thousand now. He knows down here on a good day we might have 140, 50 now. That don't bother him not one bit. Because the love goes a whole lot deeper than a number, a location. This is all about God burying Himself deep in us. That we can tell somebody else that don't know Him. What a great Savior we got. They might ask you, Brother Larry, but how could He love somebody like me? All I know to Him, one day, He held up His hands like this. He said, come on, come unto me, all you that are burdened and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. That's Him. That's the love of God. That's the love. He loves you. He loves you. Don't do wrong. Don't do wrong on purpose. Don't sin on purpose. But if you do sin, we have an advocate. He'll say, come on to the house. Come on, sit down. Oh, what a God. Don't you love Him? Man, I love Him. I love Him. Father, thank You. Lord, I sure do love You. And Lord, I thank You for loving me like You do. I pray, Lord, that if You would, You'd help us. Help us, Lord, to just want more of the light of God. So that in us, people can see more of the life of God. And we can tell each one all over this land more about the love of God. And give You the glory for all You do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.